I've been asked by a couple of folks if I would kind of introduce myself, and I kind of indicated that I thought that was a waste of time, seriously. But I can tell you this, I'm a sinner saved by grace, I'm a child of the living God, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a man striving to be led by the Spirit. That's who I am. And that's all you really need to know. God saved me when I was 26 years of age after pastoring two churches. I started preaching the day after my 15th birthday and preached, told people about Jesus, saw people saved. But one day in May of 1986, while I was preparing a message on Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he that has died is freed from sin. And immediately, the Spirit of God spoke to me, that's not happened to you. And I knew it. I'd argued against it. I had defended myself over and over again. But that day there was no argument, there was no challenge, there was no rebuttal. It was true, and I knew it. Grew up in church, had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That was Michael Durham. One of the chief enemies of our Lord as He walked on this earth were the religious hypocrites. That's what I was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. A whitened sepulcher on the outside, but on the inside full of dead men's bones and corruption. So I decided I wouldn't be a hypocrite no more. I'd live out what was secretly in my heart. I left my wife and our barely a few months old baby and went off to the big city to riotous living. But God was merciful. He would not cease to pursue me. And more I was convinced of my worthiness of judgment and damnation. In fact, it got so bad that I would get up every morning. This was my sinner's prayer, guys. Listen to this. Lord, you can't save me. You're a God of justice, and I've got to go to hell and pay for my sins. And every morning for 2 weeks I'd pray that. I don't know if you've ever tried to argue with God, but you might as well gargle with gasoline, spit in the fire. You're not going to win. And thank God, on December 1st, 1986, after praying that again, God once again spoke. That's why I sent my Son to die on the cross to take the penalty of your sin. Now, I had preached that for 11 years. I wasn't a heretic as far as the gospel was concerned. I had its basic tenets down. But you know, it was not reality to me. The light of that glory had never shone on my heart. And I had a head knowledge, but I didn't have heart understanding until that morning. And I'm telling you, it was like someone turned a light on. And immediately I was broken. We were renting a little house, my wife and I. We'd been restored, the grace of God in her life. I'm married to my best friend, my soul's twin, for almost 40 years now. And when I understood the gospel, immediately I sensed the presence of something holy I had never sensed before. And we were renting this little old two-bedroom house in a little town which my wife grew up in, Arlington, Kentucky. And the glory and the holiness of God was so real that I literally began to claw at the cracks in the hardwood floor to hide. But then something happened. The love of God was just poured out into my heart. I don't know how else to explain it to you. But the Holy Spirit came and poured out the love of God. And for that moment, for almost an hour, I felt like I was in the lap of God and He was hugging on me, loving on me. And I've never felt love like that until that day. And it's only increased since then. So that's a little bit about me. And that's all you really need to know. That I am a man that deserves the judgment of the wrath of God. And today I deserve it as much now as I did that day in 1986. But He has loved me with an enduring love. A love that He will never, ever, ever let go of. And therefore will never let me go. And if you're His child tonight, that's the way He loves you. No matter what you think or feel tonight, that's how He loves you. And I now devote my life to telling people, truly, God does love you. The problem is you don't know how much. Now, I know we're all basically of the understanding that God not only loves His people, that He also hates the sinner. But He also loves the sinner. In a way you and I cannot understand how He can love and hate the same person at the same time. But that's what the book says, and I don't care if it doesn't help your theological framework. If you can't make your I's dotted and your T's crossed, that's what the book says. And so I can tell you tonight, your problem is, if you're not a Christian, your problem is you don't know how much He loves you. Because if you knew, you would be on your face trembling right now. I'm telling you, when God confronts you in His power, His glory, and the magnificent love that He has in Christ Jesus, it's the most fearful thing a human being can experience. But it's a good kind of fear. It's a fear that sucks you in, it draws you, doesn't repel you. And beloved, let us believe that God is here. And this doesn't have to be just another retreat. But we've gathered here to meet with God, not because we're so hungry for His fellowship, but because He's hungry for your fellowship, to be with you. That's what you need to believe tonight. You need to understand and believe with a conviction that God loves you with an inseparable kind of love that we find in this book, in Christ Jesus. The same kind of love the Apostle Paul tells us at the conclusion of that most fabulous 8th chapter. A love that no creature, life, death, principalities, powers, things to come, nothing shall ever separate you from this love that's in Jesus Christ. I believe that the weakness of the modern church today is a failure to believe just how much the love of God is towards us in Christ. In 1993, after 7 years of being deprogrammed and reprogrammed after my conversion, the Lord gave me the blessing to be able to pastor again. And for 23 years, we pastored one church in Paducah, Kentucky. And then in 2015, He began to deal with me that my time was there over and that this is what I'm now supposed to do, travel wherever God sends me and preach and work and labor. Someone asked me today what I do, and I said, whatever He wants me to do. I work overseas a lot. We have a ministry in Eastern Europe that we direct and work with. And tonight I am so thankful for this opportunity to be with you all this weekend. It is a truly a holy privilege. Well,